church can be a great place to sin. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, an honest and refreshing look at Bible doctrine as it applies to daily living. If you have a Bible, get it. And here's Steve Brown to teach it.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend. I hope the time of worship in your church on the Lord's Day was celebratory and fun, and that people could hear the laughter of the redeemed. And I hope your pastor's sermon was as wonderful as my pastor's sermon. Guys, if you have your Bible, open it to the book of Amos. I think I'm spending more time in this book than I ought to, but I think I'm doing it because people always accuse me of only saying nice things about God, only never talking about judgment, never talking about God's wrath. And so I'm giving you a healthy dose of weeks of God's wrath, and I hope you're pleased. We are studying Amos as a part of our Old Testament survey, and I'm taking each of the books of the Older Testament, spending some time in each of the books, giving you some handles whereby you can study those books and understand them and apply them to your life. My great fear is that the people of God will assume that if they have a New Testament and perhaps the Psalms, they have the Bible. That's not true. God didn't take the Old Testament and burn it when Jesus came. God didn't say, all right, I've changed my mind, when Jesus came. God has one covenant. It's a covenant of grace, and we're talking about that from the Older Testament, and we're up to the book of Amos. So if you have your Bible, open it to that. Before we study the book, let's go before the throne. Father, we praise you and we worship you. And Father, it's easy to do that when things are going well. It's harder when they're not, but you told us to praise you in every circumstance. Father, remind us that you're in charge of this mess. Remind us that you're not surprised. Remind us that you're God and that you are the writer and the director of all that happens. Remind us of your love and remind us of your grace and make us a people of praise and worship. Father, you know everybody listening to this broadcast. I've seen their letters, and Father, some of them are going through really tough time. There's a man in ministry, and he says because of some bad decisions that his ministry's in serious trouble. There's a woman whose husband said that he didn't love her anymore, and he's left. There's a teenager who's making a decision about his future. And there's a couple who are deciding where to end their dates, in the living room or the bedroom. And so, Father, we're here. We're not here because we're good. You know that, and we do too. We're here because we're yours. And we're here because you're God, and you're sufficient for every need. Meet us at the point of our need. Heal and change and forgive and cleanse and empower. And keep us walking in your ways and glorifying your name. Father, as we study your word on Key Life this week, we pray for the one who teaches that you would forgive him his sins. They are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've been with us last week and the week before, you know that what we're doing is going through the book of Amos, and I'm your tour director, having given you some exegetical points, some handles, as it were, whereby you can understand the book of Amos. We looked at him as a master communicator, chapter 1, the third verse. We saw the themes that are set up in the second chapter, 6 through 16. We saw that for every effect, there is a previous cause. That's in Amos 3, 3 through 8. In Amos 3, 12, we saw the idea of a remnant of God's people remaining. And that's one of the central themes in the Bible. And then in Amos 4, 1 through 3, we saw that Amos turns the judgment of God on women. Not the kind of thing that one would appreciate. And by the way, I didn't say it. Amos said it. And if Amos were here before this microphone, he would say, I didn't say it, God said it. And in that case, it would be legitimate. Don't deal with me. I don't need the letters. I am a balanced, wonderful person who has profound insights into sexual role models. So your problems with Amos. And if Amos were here at this microphone, he would say, don't send me letters. That's what God told me to tell you. Deal with him. Now, if you have your Bible open, this is new to Rome, to Amos 4, and I'm going to start reading at the fourth verse. And let's look at 4 and 5. Amos writes, come to Bethel and sin. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the free-willed offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel, says the Lord God. You say, wait. I mean, what's God angry about there? I mean, you come and offer your sacrifices, pay your tithes. God ought to be pleased. And then he says, you love this. Shouldn't we love this? Well, no. Let me explain what's going on here. These are the altars for pagan gods and goddesses. These are the places, Bethel and Gilgal, where God's people have set up altars to a god other than God. You know, sometimes we do that in the church also. Sometimes the church can be a place where we can sin. In fact, I think one of the great causes of sin is often religion. Let me soften this a bit. Somebody sent me one of those. Some of these are new. Every once in a while, I get somebody who'll send me an email about church bloopers that are actually found in church bulletins. For those of you who are not church members, who refuse to go to church and still call yourself a Christian, so you never see a church bulletin, those are the places where all the announcements are and the order of worship is often found. At any rate, these are actual, this is from a friend of mine in California. His name's Robert. These really, thank God for church typewriters, he says, and typing arrows that go with them. So here is one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come here, Bertha Belch, all the way from Africa. Announcement in a church bulletin for a national prayer and fasting conference. The cost for attending the fasting and prayer conference includes the meals. And then, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Or this one. Next Sunday is the family hayride and bonfire at the Fowlers. Bring your own hot dogs and guns. Or the peacemaking meeting scheduled for today has been canceled due to a conflict. And then this one, don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Well, the church can help sometimes. Sometimes the church can be the barrier that we put between ourselves and God. Sometimes we worship at the wrong altars. Sometimes we deify people we ought not deify. Sometimes we think that because we went to church, because we tithed, and because we said nice things, that we are therefore perfectly in a position of pleasing God, who is pleased because he has us to help. Don't let your religion get in the way of your relationship with God. John Hagia, my friend, has said that prayer can be a chance to recommit sin on your knees, that a testimony can be a place to lie to religious folks, that worship can be a source of pride, that consistency will cause you to fail to see the power. Obedience can lead to legalism, and freedom can lead to license. Well, enough said. Amos is talking about the problems with religion. Now, let me show you another one. Turn, if you will, to the fourth chapter, and I'm going to start reading at the sixth verse, and I'm just going to have time to read this, but we'll comment on it tomorrow. Amos says this, "Also I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. You have not returned to me, says the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when there was still 3 months of harvest. I made it rain on one city and withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied, and you have not returned to me. I blasted you with blight and mildew, with your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees. The locust devoured them, yet you have not returned to me. I set among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Young men I killed with the sword." And then it goes on, "You did not return to me. I overthrew some of you, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. You did not return to me." God did a lot of stuff in their lives. He does in yours too. And he does in mine too. You would think that we would never doubt, that we would never be unfaithful. But we are. You think about that. Amen. If you're not a part of our Key Life Take family, I'd love for you to be a part of it. This is how it works. Let us know by giving us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day. Or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask to be a part of our Key Life Tape / CD family. Let us know which format that you want, and then thereafter, every 7 or 8 weeks, as long as supplies last, you will receive a free tape or CD of my teaching. Now, these are not the broadcast. You can subscribe to those, and if you ask us, we'll tell you how. These are tapes of places where I teach the Bible, generally at Reformed Theological Seminary where I teach. And those tapes come out every 7 or 8 weeks, as long as supplies last. And they're free. But do help us financially if you can. Most people, a great majority of people, are not able to help us financially. So when you help us, you help them. You can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, and include it in your envelope for any contribution of any size. I'll send along the cassette teaching when you request it, checking inside as my thank you. And oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.